for depth of vision. Now he sees the grassy country on the turnwise slopes of the mountains. Now he sees a particular hillside. Now he sees a field. Now he sees a boy running. Now he watches. Now, in a voice like lead slabs being dropped on granite, he says, "Yes." There was no doubt that there was something magical in the soil of that hilly, broken area, which, because of the strange tint that it gave to the local flora, was known as the octarine grass country. For example, it was one of the few places on the disc where plants produced reannual varieties. Reannuals are plants that grow backwards in time. You sow the seed this year, and they grow last year. Mort's family specialized in distilling the wine from reannual grapes. These were very powerful and much sought after by fortune tellers, since, of course, they enabled them to see the future. The only snag was that you got the hangover the morning before and had to drink a lot to get over it. Reannual growers tended to be big, serious men, much given to introspection and close examination of the calendar. A farmer who neglects to sow ordinary seeds only loses the crop, whereas anyone who forgets to sow seeds of a crop that has already been harvested 12 months before risks disturbing the entire fabric of causality, not to mention acute embarrassment. It was also acutely embarrassing to Maud's family that the youngest son was not at all serious and had about the same talent for horticulture that you would find in a dead starfish. It wasn't that he was unhelpful, but he had the kind of vague, cheerful helpfulness that serious men soon learn to dread. There was something infectious, possibly even fatal, about it. He was tall, red-haired and freckled, with the sort of body that seems to be only marginally under its owner's control. It appeared to have been built out of knees. On this particular day, it was hurtling across the high fields, waving its hands and yelling. Mort's father and uncle watched it disconsolately from the stone wall.
"What I don't understand," said Father Lezek, "is that the birds don't even fly away. I'd fly away if I saw it coming towards me."
"Ah, the human body's a wonderful thing. I mean, his legs go all over the place, but there's a fair turn of speed there."
Mort reached the end of a furrow. An overfull wood pigeon lurched slowly out of his way.
"His heart's in the right place, mind," said Lezek carefully.
"Ah, of course. 'Tis the rest of him that isn't."
"He's clean about the house. Doesn't eat much," said Lezek.
"No, I can see that."
Lezek looked sideways at his brother, who was staring fixedly at the sky.
"I did hear you'd got a place going up at your farm, Hamish," he said.
"Ah, got an apprentice in, didn't I?"
"Ah," said Lezek gloomily.
"When was that, then?"
"Yesterday," said his brother, lying with rattlesnake speed.
"All signed and sealed. Sorry. Look, I got nothing against young Mort. See, he's as nice a boy as you could wish to meet. It's just that..."
I know," said Lezek. "He couldn't find his arse with both hands."
They stared at the distant figure. It had fallen over. Some pigeons had waddled over to inspect it.
"He's not stupid, mind," said Hamish.
"Not what you'd call stupid." "Oh, there's a brain there, all right," Lezek conceded. "Sometimes he starts thinking so hard you has to hit him round the head to get his attention. His granny taught him to read, see? I reckon it overheated his mind."
Mort had got up and tripped over his robe.
"You ought to set him to a trade," said Hamish reflectively. "The priesthood, maybe. Or wizardry. They do a lot of reading, wizards."
They looked at each other. Into both their minds stole an inkling of what Mort might be capable of if he got his well-meaning hands on a book of magic.
"All right," said Hamish hurriedly. "Something else, then. There must be lots of things he could turn his hand to." "He starts thinking too much. That's the trouble," said Lezek. "Look at him now. You don't think about how to scare birds. You just does it. A normal boy, I mean."
Hamish scratched his chin thoughtfully.
"It could be someone else's problem," he said.
Lezek's expression did not alter, but there was a subtle change around his eyes. How do you